for the trip pick to get it posted, I made up that soft time and still made 17 minutes in the first mile. So yeah, doing good. So still not feeling on the top. Still have this little unpleasant feelings. My wife woke me up in the middle of the night and asked if I was all right. I really couldn't say because I'd been asleep. But she said, "You're making terrible gurgling noises. I just wanted to make sure you were okay." I don't know what she thought. It was some sort of animal inside burrowing around in my innards, but it was one of those odd things that she does periodically. So I think she just wanted me to wake up and talk to her. It didn't work. I rolled over and went back to sleep. I did get up just after 4, though, so I've been up a while. Been puttering about, doubling around. Nothing really useful, nothing really helpful. But I did get out for my walk. I left her sitting home trying to figure out how to recover a lost Minecraft world. She deleted the wrong one in error, which was tragic because she'd spent a lot of time on it, and now it's gone. It's sort of why they do give you the warning, forever is a long time. And if she had only thought of it before she clicked the I'm sure button, it probably would still be there and she'd be a much happier camper. I did see an interesting video while we were searching for a solution that said, create a new world with exactly the same name, capitalization and everything. And while you'll spawn in a different place, your stuff will be there. You just have to go and find it. So I thought that was a very interesting idea. I don't know if it works. I don't even know how it works. I don't know how it could possibly work if the file is not on the computer somewhere. But what do I know? I am warming up. The wind is at my back now. It's been in my face the whole way so far. So I turned south. Wind coming down out of the north. Northwest is not blowing into my hood, so it feels a lot warmer already. I'm going to make an eastern turn here and put a big fence between me and the wind, so that'll help a lot too. So I don't know. What am I thinking about today? Not a lot. I'm really not. I think part of it is being in the day. That's what my therapist tells me to do all the time, be in the day. Part of it is, I can take this hood down without disrupting anything. There we go. Part of it is the being sick the latter part of the week last week. Sort of made everything all foggy. Everything was very fuzzy. It's coming to be less fuzzy now. Mentally. So I hope that means that I'm turning the corner. I hope that means that we're about to start one of these periods of prodigious production that I know I'm capable of, just haven't been able to actually execute. And it's sort of falling into the category of, damn, I better do it really soon because things are beginning to really get piled up. Not that anything new has been added to the pile. It's just that the longer it goes, the harder it is. And we're getting to really hard. But I do have to get this book out for Scott's, this story, 40,000 words, for Sigler, before the end of the month. And I probably should try to get it to him before the middle of the month, which is like 5 days from now, so that he has a chance to read it, check it, and toss it back to me for some revision before he actually puts his own pen to it and modifies it to suit his particular need, which is what I expect him to do. So that's all good. I keep thinking about this second tier, this underclass in the golden age of the solar clipper, the people for whom it's not such a golden age. Because logically, and Nabilis Reed was one of the first ones who pointed this out, who took me by the collar and said, look, this is all well and good, but what about the rest of the people? And he's right. He's absolutely right. Now, pirating and hijacking is somewhat problematic in the world as it's laid out, because there's no way to sell a cargo that doesn't have all of its tags in place, if it doesn't have the proper provenance, if it doesn't have the proper signing, if it doesn't have the proper ID. But in talking to Command Line, Thomas Gideon, we were talking about this problem. And he said, well, yes, but the most perfect system technically still has a human element. And so you really don't have to subvert the system. You only really need to subvert one person. Or perhaps two, in the case of a double key. You really only need to subvert two people and the system is worthless. And that struck me as being, yes. Yes, and so the circumstances under which such a thing needs to happen, now it comes down to being a very personal story again. It comes down to being a kind of Nathan Lowell story, where what we're talking about are people, individuals, making a change in a larger system. And so I really like this idea. I really like the way this is sort of unfolding. Now, the deal with Odin's Outpost, with the cargo manifest being screwed up on the can in the Odin's Outpost story, that's actually not part of this larger scheme. That's just sort of a MacGuffin. That's somebody who's trying to beat the system, and is not really being too successful, because cargos aren't actually making it to port. They're not actually getting there, because some guy is standing in the way. And the other side of it, of course, is that in other ports where this guy is not quite so anal retentive about making sure that everything is exactly as it should be, perhaps they are getting through. So, sort of like spam email, where you send it to 10 million people and only 1,000 of them respond, but those 1,000 pay off so well it's worth sending it to another 10 million people. So, yeah. Interesting ideas. Dealing with stolen goods is an interesting one as well. How do you deal with stolen goods? How do you launder money in a world where there is no money? There's only credit transactions. So how do you deal with that? Oh, Monkpole. I just figured out how. Of course. Okay, well, enough of that. I won't spoil that one for you. I'll let that one sit under the collar here for a while and roll it out when the time comes. Ah, it's cold. Yep, nose is running. It's also how the Tannis Fairport last story. And I know the bare bones. I don't want to really think about it too much because I have some sort of plottish things that I know want to happen in that last book, that involve characters that you've met, involve characters that you haven't met but have heard about, and involve activities that may be somewhat problematic and cause problems for Tanith in her voyage and journey to find Gertie Pinecrest. And then, of course, we've got the Gertie Pinecrest story.
Good morning.
Good morning. So we've got the Gertie Pinecrest story. We find out about the Hermit of Lammas Wood. So very exciting times. And I still have time to get Xiphereus Call recorded and completed before the end of April, so that it would be eligible for Parsec season. I haven't lost sight of that. I need to get back in the booth because I've got a lot of audio work that needs doing. And that audio work is very gratifying. So it's kind of a way for me to sort of edge into some of this stuff to begin to call myself back out of this hole.
Morning.
To draw myself out from under the rock that I feel like I've put myself under for the last few months, year and a half. Xiphereus Call is such a strong book. I keep thinking about the reality of that workshop. And somebody asked me at one of the other writers, one of the larger named writers, a name you would all recognize, asked me how I felt about, asked me about the workshop we were talking about. Workshops and training and getting skill and craft. And I said I'd gone to the workshop, and so I got this sort of side eye and what did you think about it? And I had to admit that I was of two minds. And the first was, looking at it from the outside, it was kind of a waste of time. Or it looked like it should have been a waste of time. Or it looked like it should have been kind of, at least, at most, meh. An opportunity to go and get away from the house and type for a bit. But the reality is, even though the content, which was sort of, now that I look at it, it's got almost a year behind me now, so I've got a bit of perspective to look back on it. It's content that, it's kind of formulaic. It's sort of common sense. It's basic stuff. And yet, if I hadn't gone to the workshop, if I hadn't done the exercises, if I hadn't gone through the process, if I hadn't had the experience of going to the workshop, if I hadn't gone and had breakfast with 12 other talented writers every morning, if I hadn't gone and sat with 22 people in a room and listened to Dean Wesley Smith give us his opinions twice a day for a week, if we hadn't sat around and shot the breeze with Christine Catherine Rush, would I have written Xiphereus Call the way I did? And then my answer is unequivocally no. I don't think I could have, because I wouldn't have been the same person. I wouldn't have had the experience. But I think the craft that evolved from that workshop, he pointed the way, and I followed the path. That's the best way I can say it. And I can see where a lot of people, if they didn't follow the path that he pointed out, wouldn't get the same results. And even some of the people who followed the path that he pointed out, if they only followed the path that he pointed out, wouldn't have the same results. But being on the path and seeing the things that I saw in doing the things that I did, in dodging this, that, or the other branch, seeing a particular flower beside the path, observing a particular way the light shone through the trees. Shone or shined? I don't know. One of them. That's what let me write Xiphereus Call better than I could have if I hadn't had gone. So I think the workshop experience itself was valuable to me and provided me with a unique benefit that I'm not sure that the other members of the cadre got, and I'm not sure they needed, because I took away from it what I needed, and I'm confident that for the most part they took away what they needed. Now, I'm still not going to follow their marketing advice, because they really clearly do not understand social media at all, and they still consider social media to be broadcast media. They still consider it to be marketing to be largely a broadcast kind of thing. They're still operating in mass market mindsets because they still have mass market contracts. They're still operating in a mass market world, in spite of the fact that there are other worlds that are perfectly valid and in fact actually provide better income, particularly for entry-level writers, than do their mainstream mass market ideals. It's the idea of embracing a mid-list mindset. I don't care if I never have a bestseller. I care about having a solid paycheck from writing. I care about telling good stories to do that. I care about making those connections with the audience, like all of you who are the hardest core of the true fans who listen to my rambling every day, or some days, or a few days, or tune in to see what I'm whinging about this week. And they don't get it, because they're not operating in the same marketplace. They're not operating with the same nuanced understanding. 36 minutes, 2 miles. Okay, so the second mile was 18 minutes, which is pretty good, and I'm walking straight into the wind, and it is bloody cold. But I'm almost here. Yes, I am. I'm at the corner, crossing the street, on the sidewalk, at the back gate. I made it. Tomorrow is another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.